Welcome back to The Exchange on KUCB. I'm Annie Ropeek. We just talked about the oil boom in the Alaskan Arctic and how that could impact communities like on Alaska. Now we're focusing on shipping traffic. As pipelines expand and new projects start up all around the Pacific Northwest and in Alaska, more huge tankers and other vessels are going to create traffic jams and new risks in the Bering Sea. We can assume based on the trends that the increase is coming. The question is, how do we deal with it? I'm joined now by Dan Magone of Resolve Magone Marine Services here in the studio to talk about that. Dan, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, hi.
So, listeners, we can take your calls live on the air during this portion of our program at 581-2161. And you can still send us an email at news@kucb.org or send us your questions, thoughts, and comments on our Facebook page and on Twitter at KUCB News. So, Dan, for our listeners who might not be familiar with your business here in Alaska, can you tell me sort of about your role in response to things like this? You know, if something runs aground or something spills, what do you do?
Okay, well, I suppose to start back, I first came up here to do emergency repair to a crab boat that broke down in 1978, and then by February of 79, I moved up here. My business specialized in doing underwater repair, emergency repairs on vessels, which was handy since there was no dry docks for thousands of miles. So because it involved diving, we were the local diving company. So whenever there was a vessel that ran aground or there was some mishap of one sort or another, then we were the only company to turn to. So although we were small at the time, it grew over the years. And because of just a general lack of response infrastructure, you know, we moved into that niche. And so... As the business developed and as the economy and industry developed out here, so did our capabilities to the point where now, you know, the regulations as well as the all the new, you know, the increases of traffic, even before you talk about, the northern area, just increases in traffic in the Aleutian Islands with shipping going across the North Pacific. It's beyond the capability of what my small company could respond to properly. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we could see that whenever there was a big ship in distress. We didn't have the equipment or the personnel to do more than just be immediate responder at the time, you know, and so now, with what's going on up north, the development of, the petrochemicals, all that stuff, you know, mm-hmm. That's a big part of it, but you've also, the climate change aspect of it, the fact that the area is opening up is going to allow more traffic for a number of different things. And we're also going to see traffic and are seeing a lot more traffic even from the on the Siberian side.
Mm-hmm. Just so, trans-Pacific right, for anything.
Yeah. Right. So you've got shipping is going to increase no matter what. You know, it's human nature to develop areas as you can. And now we have the technology and we have the weather that's going to allow us to develop those areas and the resources that are up there and everything. So we're going to see that happening on both on the Russian side as well as on North American side. So that's going to happen. Whenever you have natural resources development, then infrastructure needs to be developed hand in hand. And so all this development is going to create industry. And so wherever there's industry, then there's more potential for problems where you need emergency response.
Right.
And so that's where we fit in.
Yeah. So, I mean, what needs to change, I guess, in the Aleutians to handle this kind of traffic? I mean, as you say, that there's no dry docks for thousands of miles even now. Like, we are sort of the hub of like, more local response, I guess, to traffic that comes through the Bering Sea. So... are we equipped to deal with an increase, and sort of to what point?
Yeah, I mean, when I say yeah, I'm just responding. I'm not agreeing
yes.
that we have all this thing solved. At any rate, what you're seeing with Resolve and Magone Marine joining forces is an example of that, of the infrastructure, in this case, the emergency response infrastructure, developing to meet those kinds of needs.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about your recent merger with Resolve, right?
Right, and okay. just the principle that as areas get developed, you're going to see infrastructure come in there to meet the needs and therefore fill the niche. So, mm-hmm. so Resolve is a similar company to mine. It started small, but now they're a big international company, and so they can step in to fill the needs of the big shipping traffic. Mm-hmm. And whatnot. Now we haven't we haven't completely, you know, built up the facility the way we want and everything else. And so that'll happen over time because we all have to pay as you go type of thing. And so it'll take a while for us to get up to the vision of what we would want to have to offer.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I guess, something maybe more sort of expansive or higher level kind of response.
Well, for example, we need to build a warehouse. We need to do different things in order to properly store more equipment here. But even now, I mean, you know, we've got the Resolve Pioneer, which is 80 baller ton emergency response vessel. And so that's a big deal, you know. And
it's been getting a lot of use just in the past 6 months or so. It's been out a lot, as I understand.
Yeah, there's been a number of fishing vessels that it's responded to, and then it even responded to a big container ship that broke down 500 miles south of Adak, and so you know it's had some use, mm-hmm. and so we can see the justification for getting a boat like that up here, certainly.
Sure.
But we need to get a better berth for it. Right now it's kind of clogging up our shipyard down there, and mm-hmm. so there's more that needs to be done there. We've already started to store quite a bit of equipment here. It's basically been their West Coast hub now. Since we've got together, mm-hmm. we've even been shipping equipment to Portland and now down to LA to different jobs on the West Coast because we had it here in Unalaska. And so they're responding to issues that need to be done down there. And we have the specialized equipment that's closer here than it is Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
So we even shipped some equipment to India the other day.
Wow.
Because they've got a sunken submarine to deal with in Mumbai.
Wow. Running an international business right here from Unalaska. That's pretty cool.
Right.
So we had a question from a listener. What do you think is the viability of involving the fishing fleet in emergency response here? You know, if we needed to sort of start staging more first response, emergency response to, say, a spill or a grounding from Unalaska, the listener mentioned in Cordova when the small boat fleet was called on to respond to a spill there in the 80s. So is that something that you think that might happen?
I don't know. In the past, that's all that was here was fishing boats. You know, when we did salvage jobs years ago, you know, we got fishing boats and went out and did the job, you know. So, but, you know, the thing of it is it's getting harder and harder to do that because of regulations. And so I think, you know, there's no turning back development in this area, and there seems to be no turning back regulations either. So it's getting more and more challenging to respond with folks, you know, that don't have vessels that meet certain Coast Guard standards and their crews don't have certain licenses and those kinds of things. It's still going on. You know, we used fishing vessels up on the Lone Star here this last summer, but, you know, there's issues being raised each time and it's hard to know where all that's going to go. But I know on the Selendang IU, there was a bunch of fishing boats that got deployed on that project.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing of it is as industry moves in, as it will, you know, in other words, as companies see that there's a market, then they're going to move in to fill the niche that they specialize in. And so as they do, as we start seeing other other vessels coming into the area that meet the regulations, then there's going to be less need, and the Coast Guard will be less inclined to want to use emergency, you know, vessels of opportunity.
That's interesting. It's interesting you mentioned the regulations piece, because there's a lot of regulations surrounding response tactics and who can do that and how, but there's not a lot of regulations, as I understand it, sort of governing where these vessels can travel and kind of setting up traffic lanes and preventing them from hitting each other in places like Unimak Pass and things like that. You know, that's all sort of open water. You know, these vessels are traveling an innocent passage, and they're just kind of out there doing their own thing until something happens, and that's when all the oversight kicks in. Is that something you think might change?
Well, it's all evolving. I mean, they have, you know, certain protocols of how they're supposed to operate out there, especially in places like Unimak Pass. And as we go forward, as the traffic increases, then regulation is going to, and oversight is going to increase more and more. You know, they can track all these vessels now, you know, and so everybody knows where they're going, and they need to be operated in a responsible way, and so everybody has some agreements. You know, the ones that tend to be run around on their own without those kinds of agreements would be the fishing fleet, basically. Mm-hmm. And so they might kind of dart in and out. But the big shipping, the big ships and that sort of thing, they're not just going anywhere they want anymore, you know. I mean,
and is that because there's too many of them or because there's too much oversight?
Well, I don't know that you would say that there's too much oversight. It's just that there is oversight.
Right.
They need to be accountable now, and so they're reporting what they're doing, and they're being monitored and all that sort of thing.
Interesting. Well, Dan, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
You bet.
Dan McGowan is the co-owner of Resolve McGowan Marine Services here in Unalaska. And that's all for The Exchange. If you missed any part of today's program, we're online at kucb.org. The Exchange will be on the air every first and third Wednesday during the legislative session, so keep your eyes and your ears open for our next episode coming up on March 19th. We had production help today from Lauren Rosenthal. I'm Annie Ropeek. Thanks for tuning in.